Here is Emily Gallagher. Emily Gallagher, that was wonderful. And what was really nice is as you got through certain passages, I saw this big smile come on your face. So much of singing opera, I would imagine, includes how you contort your face or smile or what your expression is. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. I would say just for singing, you have to make sure that everything is in line when you're singing, and your facial expressions definitely play a part in that. And something that is a continuing struggle for me, but also a really wonderful part, is trying to manage an acting element with maintaining the technique at the same time, and not twisting my face into weird shapes that I want for the acting aspect, but then totally mess up my singing. So my facial expressions are extremely important, if for nothing else, to convey the emotion of a character.
That's while you have more talent in your pinky than I do in my whole body, I can relate to that a little bit, because I'm used to being on the radio where expressions aren't seen. And, you know, suddenly, you know, I can do something that is exactly what I want it to be on the air, on the radio. But if I'm suddenly being seen, you know, there's a whole different aspect to it. So having to master both of those as an operatic performer has to be a real challenge. Studying at Carnegie Mellon, do you end up taking some of the same classes that drama students take, or is that a separate component of the music department?
So the School of Drama and the School of Music are pretty separate. We do get to use their theater and their designers, though, for all of our operas, which is a really amazing benefit since it's a beautiful space and the designers are all incredibly talented and we have top-notch people working on all of our productions. But in terms of classes, they're very separate. You have to audition to get into a lot of the School of Drama classes if you're not a drama student. For the vocal performance program, we do have dance classes and acting classes as part of our curriculum, which has been very beneficial. going into a career in opera.
So let's go back in time. When did you know that you loved to sing, just generally speaking?
I've loved to sing since I was really, really little, and I've loved performing. When I was really young, I would put on productions of Annie in my basement. I'm the oldest of five, and so all my siblings would get to be all the other orphans, and I would be Annie because I was the oldest. And I would be the director and stage manager, and we would make paper tickets that we would give to my grandfather, who was our babysitter, and to my mom when she came home from work, and we put on shows every night. But the first real show I was in was when I was in sixth grade, and it was really at that time that I started to realize how much I loved performing. And I didn't start studying voice formally until my junior year of high school, and I give my choir teacher in high school a tremendous amount of credit for the career path that I'm on today, because my parents are not musical at all, and if it weren't for the music teachers I had over time, I would be at a complete loss about everything related to music. And so I always make sure to thank all of my music teachers from the very youngest age, because they really are the ones who put me on the path that I'm on today.
Now, you're a senior in high school. You took your, began taking lessons as a junior, you
yes.
mentioned. So I'm taking you back 5 or 6 years. How did you decide that music was going to be what you wanted to study? Were you pretty sure that performance was going to be your choice after high school, or was that a tough decision to make?
I was pretty sure that was what I wanted to do. Actually, initially, when I applied to schools, this worked very well in narrowing down the decision process, was I only applied to schools where I could do a dual degree in engineering and music. I didn't end up doing that, but when I applied to schools, I applied to engineering and music programs simultaneously, and I got into a few engineering programs. I got into more music programs, and in the end of everything, I ended up just studying music, but that's definitely what I wanted all along, was to be a musician and to study music. I started off really mostly doing musical theater, because I did a lot of musical theater in high school. My voice, just the way it naturally sits, it's a little more inclined towards classical singing. And I really like classical singing because I love languages. I love learning languages. I love speaking languages. I love meeting new people and traveling. And so that's an aspect of the career that really appeals to me a lot. And that's something that, for me, is a plus in opera that you don't necessarily get in musical theater.
Now, I know there are parts for actors, operatic roles for actors that you can audition for and take part in, but would your ideal situation being, would it be being part of a company, or I don't know much about the career path. I don't mean to sound like a dad or uncle in your family either asking you this, but so you've graduated from Carnegie Mellon 2 months ago. What kind of career paths await you?
Yeah, so this year I'm doing administrative work in the School of Music, and I have a job performing a dinner theater in the evenings, and then I'm taking a lot of auditions. Something that is kind of a turning point for me right now is deciding if I want to move to Europe or not. I was performing in Europe this summer, and the way the system works there is a little bit different, and it's a little easier to have to be located in one place, and in Europe, it's easier to be part of a single company and you go to work every day to the same place. Whereas in the U.S., that's a little bit harder unless you go through young artist programs, which are really for younger singers. So that's something that within 10, 15 years, I would totally have aged out of. So that's something I could do in the U.S. for a while. But for long term, Europe is a better option for staying in one place. But I don't even know if that's what I want to do yet. So this year is just going to be for lots of auditions and trying to pay off my loans.
And I ask you that in part because I think it's hard for a lot of people, unless they've done exactly what you've done, to understand what happens after you graduate with the degree and skills that you have as to what's next. My sense The first opera I ever saw was in Europe, and I was amazed at how it was like going to a ball game. I mean, the crowd was full of people, everyday people that just really enjoyed opera. And I don't know if that permeates all of Europe. This was in Prague. But it was just such a, it seemed like a natural thing to do. It was not a big night out of the town or anything. It's, we're going to go, we're going to see opera and listen to opera. And maybe that creates some of those opportunities you were describing, an audience that, not that the audience here is poor, but an audience that sustains itself and is very diverse and maybe more interwoven into the fabric of everyday life?
Yes, I would absolutely say that. I was in Vienna this summer, and I think there's three or four opera companies just in Vienna alone. And so that is definitely part of it, is that there's more audience interest, and so there's more companies, so therefore there's more jobs. And actually at the Vienna State Opera, they have this is a recent addition, they have a big projection screen outside, and they do a live stream of the opera every single night and all the matinees as well, and that's free. And anyone who wants to can come sit out on the sidewalk. They have chairs out there as well. You can bring food, you can bring a picnic blanket, you can bring wine, and you can sit and watch the opera. And I did that two times. It was completely full, bustling with people when I was there. And also the tickets are sold out in the house every single night as well. So there's definitely, it is definitely more interwoven into the fabric of society, and it's a more, I don't want to say normalized, but it's something that people have as part of their daily lives. It's not a big event, as you said.
Emily Gallagher is the voice you're hearing. She just graduated from Carnegie Mellon. She's here today in collaboration with the Pittsburgh Concert Society as a Young Artist Award winner. Can you tell me the song you sang first, the selection,
its
name?
So that's Chacun le sait from La Fille du Régiment. And so that's an aria that I use in auditions a lot. Something that I really like about that aria is that right away you get the high notes. So it shows a lot in the first 10 seconds, which is something that we're taught in our classes, is that you want to make a really strong impression within the first minute that you walk into the room, because people make decisions about you as soon as they see you. They make decisions as soon as you walk through the door. And so starting with something that shows off a lot very quickly is a strong choice and will hopefully help you land the audition.
So interesting. What would you like to do next? And then we'll talk a little
bit more. Sure. So next I'm going to be singing De Vieni Non Tardar from The Marriage of Figaro, which I was actually just in this past October at Carnegie Mellon.
Once again, here is Emily Gallagher accompanied by Jamie Cohen.
Giunse il fine il momento che godrò senza affanno in braccio all'idol mio. Temere cuore, uscite dal mio petto, a turbar non venite il mio diletto.
Emily Gallagher singing, and thanks. A lot of folks are commenting on how great you sound. I was looking at some text messages and posts on Facebook. Are there rudiments to operatic singing, a certain, like a fixed number of techniques that you must master to apply? I just can't imagine how you get from not knowing to performing as you do. If there are building blocks, or, I mean, how did you even learn to sing operatically?
So there's definitely not a fixed technique. There's a lot of different techniques, and then a lot of different teachers teach combinations of different techniques. Some teachers teach only one technique. But it really, I think something's really important is making sure you find a teacher that works well with your voice, because everyone's voice is very different. And there's definitely people's whose vocal folds are more inclined in that direction, and then they just need a little prodding along, and then it's like, oh, now you open your mouth more, now you use your breast support, and then you find all the overtones. And so there, to answer your question, no, there's not a fixed technique, but there's definitely building blocks along the way. And something that I've been told by my teachers, and something that I hold to be very important and I hope to sustain throughout my life, is that you always need a teacher. Because you always need somebody to check in on you, because you can't hear your own voice. I mean, yes, you can, but you're not hearing what it sounds like to the rest of the world, and a recording can only do so much.
I would think. I know, I remember like it was yesterday, the first time I heard an opera singer and was in the same room with her, about as far apart as we are now, but it was a living room, not a radio studio. And it wasn't just sound. It was the entire atmosphere of the room changed. The vibrations you could feel, and it was just amazing to me to watch. And a lot of it seemed to be breathing and where you were supporting your voice as you presented. You just said something I never thought too much about, but I guess you have to really understand your body, your vocal cords, your diaphragm, your posture.
Oh, absolutely.
Your mouth, we mentioned before. And there almost would have to be like an anatomy and physiology component.
Yes.
Is there?
There is. And so actually there's some people have very strong opinions that young singers should not be taught that aspect, which I do tend to agree with, because then you start overthinking everything. There's definitely body awareness needs to be taught. But if you start off teaching a 16-year-old every tiny little detail about what their anatomy is doing, that's all they're going to be thinking about. And that's not how good singing is created. Good singing is created by embodying a character and really delving into the text. But the anatomy component of it is very important and very interesting. And just even on a broader scale, just body awareness in general. And I mean, my siblings always make fun of me for this, but I'm really hyper aware of how my throat feels, of how everything in my face feels, because it's my career. It's everything I do every day is based on that. And so every morning when I wake up, I notice like every tiny little difference in it. And sometimes that can become very aggravating. And it's really nice. Recently, I was on vacation and I wasn't singing. And it's really funny, because when you spend so much time thinking about all those things, when you can wake up and you're like, oh, my nose is running a little bit, it doesn't matter. It's nice to have that break every once in a while. But even in terms of acting, and this is something that's true for all actors, is awareness of your body is very important. And definitely being a performer has given me an incredible awareness of my body and how I move through space, how I move on stage. And there's actually points in time, it's kind of funny, where I can think of where major lessons I learned about my body and how I hold myself. Like one time when I was in eighth grade, I had a director tell me, like, you have to stop slouching. And then later when I was in 10th grade, I had somebody who told me, oh, you touch your hands too much, which is something I still do a lot. But which I don't know if that's true for everyone, but in my mind, there's a few moments that stick out where I'm like, oh, that's a body awareness thing that this person told me, and I'm going to try to carry this through all of my performances because what they're saying is making me look too inhibited and not like I'm trying to share my music with the audience.
That's interesting. You really need to be able to look at yourself as well as hear yourself as your audience is taking you in. And as you mentioned, having a relationship with a teacher or a coach lifelong it sounds like it's essential.
Yes.
You have to be able to do that. Emily Gallagher is here representing the Pittsburgh Concert Society today. She has one more piece to do, and this is our last chance to talk. I want to acknowledge her accompanist, again, Jamie Cohen, who's kind enough to be here today. Is there anybody else that you would like to acknowledge, or is there anything I didn't ask you that you wanted to mention?
Well, just thank you to the Pittsburgh Concert Society and to SLB for having me today. It's been really wonderful. This is my first time performing on the radio.
I'm honored.
It's very exciting.
We'll send you a recording of it, and don't critique it too much when we send it to you. Can you tell me about the song you're about to sing?
Yes. So this is Adele's audition aria from Die Fledermaus. And so Die Fledermaus is basically, it's an operetta, and it's commonly performed in English in the United States. I'm singing this aria in German today, however. And it's basically the whole opera is a big party full of champagne and bustling noise and music. And this aria is after the party, where Adele, who is a chambermaid, is trying to convince the audience and those on stage that she is destined to be an actress. And so she goes through three different character tropes to try to show her acting abilities.
Spielete Unschuld vom Lande, natürlich im kurzen Gewande, so hüppig ganz neckisch umher, als ob ich ein Eikatzel wär. Und kommt ein sauber junger Mann, so blitzlich lillig ihn an. Durch sie finkert zwar nur, als ein Kind der Natur, und supp an meinem Schürzen.
Mit dem Talent, mit dem
Zurück. Kann ich nicht nur Bekuchen treten, werd ich schwach. Du öffne plus, es ist die Tour. Ei, 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 und aus mir, aus mir. Verzeihung, flütiger, verzeiht.
Emily Gallagher, thank you for being with us.